PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your Sunday program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International for this, the 19th of February, 2017. And this past week, of course, was Valentine's Day, so hopefully all of you had a wonderful Valentine. And if you're alone, well, tough cheese, and as they would probably say, as some people might say. It is really interesting. I was getting into a discussion with this with someone, and you know, holidays like Valentine's Day, even though there really is kind of a lover's day, even in Chinese culture, there is something called Lover's Day, which falls on a different date. Now, while the fact that it may be a day that goes back many years, to be honest, I really think that in the last maybe, well, 50 years or so, it's really just a day to sell more greeting cards and more flowers. Really, I mean, it's so funny. I mean, you walk around any big department store and you will see Valentine's Day specials as if it's a big holiday like New Year's or Christmas or something like that. And it's not. It's you know, I mean, it's a little bit silly, you know. So he said they call it Valentine's Day so you can tell the person that you love them on that day. And the rest of the year, you could just ignore them. I think there's probably some people that actually have to go through that. Anyway, that is my sort of feeling on Valentine's Day. It's a little bit of a silly holiday. Just a way to sell more greeting cards and flowers and, of course, chocolates. You can take the greeting cards. I don't want them. You can take the flowers, yeah, not too hot on those. The chocolate, you can definitely send my way. That's no problem with that. All right, we're going to begin right away with Bert Klemfert and his orchestra. This is from a CD that came out a few years ago featuring material that Bert Klemfert had recorded, but it was never made available commercially. Here he is with Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. Bert Klemfert on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Thank you. Me and You and a Dog Named Boo, Bert Clemford and his orchestra from a new collection. Well, not exactly new, it came out a few years ago, but it was a new collection at the time of unreleased material, material that he had recorded, but it was never made available commercially. You know, this past week, I received an email from an old listener of mine. Now, I don't mean to say that they are old. It's a listener that I had when I was at China Radio International. And when I was at China Radio International, I did a number of things. One of the programs that I did was an afternoon slot from 2 until 5 p.m. And every once in a while, we would do some very, very silly things on the program. For example, recording songs, changing the lyrics, doing little comedy sketches, and things like that. And Zarana, hello Zarana, who lives in Beijing, who finally heard this program. She said she just put my name in Google to see what I was up to, and she found out that I was at PCJ Radio International doing this program. So she's been listening to the last couple, and she said in her letter, which is a letter, not an email, do you remember when you used to do little silly sketches and songs on the program that you did at China Radio International? Of course I do. She said, is there any possibility that you may have any of these, and if you can run one on your program that you're doing now for my own enjoyment and also for the enjoyment of listeners that may have never heard it? Well, guess what? Yes, I managed to dig up one of the tapes. And yes, it is actually on a tape. And this was from, you know, sadly, I don't remember the exact year. But I think I may have recorded this either in the middle of 2001 or the end of 2001. And what it is, it's a sketch and a silly little song. And I thought of this idea because many years ago, Peter Sellers, the well-known English comedian, did a take on the Beatles, doing them in Shakespearean style, right? So I thought, well, what if this decided to tour? So what would Peter Sellers do today if he was alive? So it is myself interviewing myself with different voices, and then doing a rendition of the Beatles song, Hard Day's Night. Now, the funny thing, Zarana, is I actually remembered how I introduced it on the afternoon program that I was doing at CRI. And the introduction was something to the effect, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special thing for you this afternoon. And that is, the Royal Shakespeare Company is going to be performing here in Beijing at the National Theatre. And they're not going to be performing works of Shakespeare, Dickens, or any other classic authors. Instead, they will be performing the works of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Now, we have been trying to get an interview with their lead actor, Sir John Thomas, but he was unavailable. But the BBC graciously did the interview for us, and we'd like to bring it to you this afternoon. It was something to that effect that I had said. And after I said it, I played the tape.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are deeply honoured today to have in the studio with us Sir Thomas Michael John, who's an actor with the Royal Shakespeare Company. He is in town to perform the works of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Yes, you heard me correct, the Beatles, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. He is doing his interpretation of their songs in the Shakespearean style. And he joins us now in the studio to talk a bit about why he came up with this idea and what kind of songs will be performed. It's really, of course, a pleasure to have you here, Sir John. I'd like to begin by asking you, where did you come up with the idea to perform on stage in Shakespearean costumes, the works of Lennon and McCartney?
Well, of course, I've been an actor now for the past 30 years. And when I was much younger, I used to listen to Lennon and McCartney all the time. So I thought that, you know, one day when I become really famous like I am now with the Academy Awards that I've been winning, I thought, you know, it would be a good idea to take their songs and act them out on stage.
I see. Was there any type of opposition to you doing this? Because the songs of Lennon McCartney, of course, are very popular. There's been other performers who've done their interpretations of the songs. So what was the reaction from the public to all this?
It's a bit difficult to say, because so far, when I've been performing them, the lights are all off in theatre, so I don't really see the people that I'm performing to, but there's a lot of noise, you know, things like doors opening and people running, so I really don't know how to interpret all this. It's been a great fun. I did receive a very nice letter from Mr. Paul McCartney, or I should say Sir Paul McCartney, who said, good luck, and if you do it again, you're going to receive some type of bodily harm, which means he's going to be sending me a gift, I think, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Very interesting indeed. Now, today you're going to be singing, or I should say acting out, one of these songs for us. And it's from the very popular Beatles film, Hard Day's Night. Why did you choose this song? Was it for any particular reason? Or was it because that you thought this would be the perfect realm for me to dress up like, say, like Macbeth and the Three Witches and Lady Macbeth and interpret it that way? Was that your reasoning behind it?
Not really. I decided to do this song, Hard Day's Night, because it's the only song that I know the words for. The other ones, of course, are a bit too difficult, so I thought this would be the easiest one, because I don't have time to go learn the words to a difficult song like this one. I could learn things like, to be or not to be. That is the question. Of course, we know that is from Hamlet, or, you know, something like Macbeth. Thus is the dagger that I see before me. It took me a while to do the Scottish accent, but I think I've got it down quite good now.
Very interesting. Okay, Sir John, we're now going to have your interpretation of Hard Day's Nights, also performed by the Baroque Tickle My Foot Orchestra, which is performing here at Crumley Road, number 27. So, without further ado, here's Sir John from the Royal Shakespeare Company with his interesting interpretation of the Beatles classic Hard Day's Nights. And thank you very much for coming by the studio today.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find thus life would come through and make me feel all right. You know I work all day to buy you money, to get you things. And it doesn't really make me say, 'cause you're giving me everything. Ha 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 ha. But when I sit here alone, right by the telephone, you know I feel okay. Oh, when I'm home, the feeling is holding me tight. When I'm home, the feeling will make me feel all right. Yes, that's true. It's been a hard day's night, Macbeth. And I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. Hamlet, listen! 'Cause William Shakespeare is great, and so is Lennon and McCartney! When shall we three witches meet again in thunder, lightning, or rain? When the hurlo-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won! Macbeth! Macbeth! Thus a dagger I see before me! It's been a hard day's night, and Lennon and McCartney worked really hard to write this song, like William Shakespeare did in a number of his plays. I, Sir John Thomas, or rather that's Thomas Michael John, am the greatest actor to live. Days, nights, I should be sleeping like a log. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. But when I get home to you, I find the things I can do will make you feel all right. I love thou art and life with death.
Yes, one of the silly little sketches and songs that I recorded for the afternoon program that I was doing at China Radio International for the domestic service, not the overseas service. For the overseas service, I was doing different programs, but this was for the domestic side. And it was my take and kind of my tribute to Peter Sellers when he did She Loves You, which is also by the Beatles in a Shakespearean style. It was a lot of fun. And Zorana, thank you very much for reminding me about that, because I had actually forgotten about it until I got your letter this past Monday. And I was checking around, and sure enough, actually, I have some others as well that I will play on a future edition of the program. So Zorana, welcome to the Happy Station. And it's nice that you found me once again. Okay. Time for music now. Let's listen to Stanley Black and his orchestra with the theme song to the television series Black Beauty. It's called Galloping Home. Galloping Home, Stanley Black and his orchestra, and that was the theme song to the television series Black Beauty. You're listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And one of our engineers here at PCJ has been very busy remastering and doing digital transfers of some of the legendary Happy Station shows from the Tom Meyer era. And there was one day I think it was Sunday evening when I came in. He was doing this stuff, and I said, "Oh, which one is that?" And I went, "Oh, let's. You know what? If you can transfer this one immediately, because I'd like to use part of it for this week's Happy Station." So we are going to do that. We're going to listen to a program that was broadcast in September 1988 from the city of Arnhem at the Open Air Museum.
On this typical September Sunday, we've once again left the studios in Hilversum to go out to a wonderful location for an extra live special.
A-D-I-O-N. Happy Station!
Hello, everyone. Hello, everywhere. And to those of you around the world listening to their shortwave radios again today, I hardly have to tell you. Indeed, we've gone out of our studios and we've got a large audience here. Where is here? Because I can't remember. I told you over the past few weeks where we would be. Did I, Rosemary? No, I didn't. We really kept it a secret. Well, we are at a place which you have heard about before. But first of all, I'd like to say hello to all our listeners around the world. On behalf of the audience you just heard in such a wonderful applause, not only friends of ours, even relatives of ours, not only colleagues, even older colleagues, and I don't mind saying to those of you who may remember the name that Elke van den Berg, who signed so many of your postcards, is present today. Also a lady from Mexico who is Lupita's mother, and I don't think I told our English audiences yet. I told the Spaniards, or the Spanish-speaking people, but I didn't tell our English-speaking audience that our dear Lupita, who works for us part-time these days, got married last Monday, and her mother came all the way from Mexico to be present. Muy bienvenida a la señora madre de Lupita Kingma, como se llama hoy día aquí en Arnhem, donde estamos hoy. Well, of course, we've got our technical friends here in the hall with us is Bob Master Spade, as we call him. His real name is Hop Heers Hop. Then in our van outside, we find Peter Forrest, Peter Bos, and Rob Horsman must be around somewhere. We haven't translated Rob's name yet. And in the studio in Hilversum, we find Mark Eilers, who is there to see to it that you get a good signal. Rosemary is here, as you could tell. Lupita is here, and I also want to thank Mika Hoek. Where is she? There she is. She works for our PR department, and today we'll be taking pictures of the whole thing. My name, finally, is Tom Meyer, and we hope you'll enjoy this show. Right, now, where are we? We're in Arnhem, a name you definitely have heard before, and where exactly in Arnhem are we? In the Open Air Museum. Now, many of you will say, yeah, we've heard about that before. Last year I mentioned this open air museum when there was a threat of this museum being closed, and that threat came, well, not personally, but from the department of our Minister for Culture. And when I told you people around the world that this was maybe about to happen, your postcards and letters just streamed into our office, and we passed all these protests on to the people in power. And I won't say that it was your postcards and letters that changed the decision, but sometime after that, when you were asking us questions about the museum, I could say, thankfully, that for the time being, the museum was still open. We thought it was about time to go to that museum and let you hear more about it, and so that is why we are here today. You know where, you know why, and you know who, but now what? Well, it's going to be, I almost would say, a typical Happy Station show, but it's not going to be so typical because the music you usually hear on Happy Station is light music. Well, it is going to be light, but it is not going to be the light music that you're accustomed to hear on Happy Station. We've got a lot of surprises in store for you, and I think it's about time for the first one. The first piece of music is going to be called, or is called, the Gelderse Serenade. And that's a serenade from Gelderland, which is the province we're in right now. And who's going to play that music? Well, in a way you could say it is Mr. Eve Hofstede. But what is he going to do? Is he going to play the piano? Is he going to sing? Is he going to play the fiddle? No. He is going to operate a gigantic, lovely mortier organ. And that is not a, yes, a barrel organ, not a street organ. It's a great big fair organ. And the first piece of music he's going to play for us is called the Gelderland Serenade. That first piece of music was not called, as I told you, the Gelderland Serenade, but it's almost right, the Gelderse Serenade, played on this huge, giant, fair organ. Another thing I wanted to tell you is that we not only have friends, relatives, visitors present here, but also listeners. Not that they're not friends, but some of our listeners who are close enough to make it to Arnhem, decided to come over to Arnhem. And among them, where are you, are Gert Tjirbka and his wife from across the border. Herzlich willkommen. They will know, these listeners who were tuned in last week or 2 weeks ago, that we had an extra special reserve program about mechanical music instruments. Well, we did that on purpose, so now you know everything about mechanical music instruments, such as that giant organ we just heard. I would like to introduce to you now a gentleman who can tell us all about the museum, because obviously if you want to hear something about a location, then you talk to somebody who knows everything about it. I'd like to introduce to you somebody who, for English-speaking audiences, we'll call Jack, although his real name is Koos. And here he is, Jack Stickfoot. I think, Jack, I can safely say you are the PR and information official for the museum. Welcome to our show. And how is it that you know so much about it? When did you start working for the museum, and how did you become affiliated or involved with it?
In 1950, I was in military service in Arnhem. I made preparations for emigration to New Zealand, and I had to have work for 7 months. And I asked
That was a glass. I'm sorry. I did that.
And they told me, try the open air museum, guiding foreign groups around. I was accepted, and I did guiding in the Netherlands open air museum for the whole summer. The emigration to New Zealand was postponed for a year, and they asked me during the winter period to set up an information department in the museum. And that's how I came into this very nice open air museum in 1951. And since that time, I like this museum so much that I'm still here doing information and PR.
Well, so apparently you decided to postpone your emigration forever after that and to simply hang on. And that's quite some time ago that you joined it. You're still here. I'm glad that you were able and willing to come to the show today to tell us something about it. This was your introduction, so thank you for this first participation. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you yet another group of people in this case. Our audience here have seen them already. Our audiences at home don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a group that we in Holland call het Gezelschap Goed en de Fijn. And if you ask any foreigner to pronounce that, they immediately say Dutch is not a language but a disease of the throat. I'm not even going to try to say that. So in English-speaking audiences, they call themselves Ensemble Goed, Good and Fine, or to make it even easier, the group GGF. But one thing I want to tell you, that there are five people involved with this group. You can hear them tuning their instruments. They play, to make it easy on you, medieval music on original instruments. They're even dressed in an attire which goes with that period of our history. And the group is conducted and led by Robert van Lint. GGF, ladies and gentlemen. And before they start playing for you, I would like to tell everybody who's listening at this point that it's a pity that you cannot be present here, because they look exactly the way they play. It's a lot of fun and games when you listen to them. And I have a feeling that Rob himself wants to say something, so let's just see what's going to happen from now on. Rob, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just want to tell the instruments. The hurdy-gurdy, draailier, dreilier, vierroe, then the bagpipe, Dutch bagpipe, no Scottish. Scottish rules the waves, I think, but Dutch have the bagpipes. So, and then also one-hand flute, etc. We play for you first a beautiful dance, a dance of the giants, Reusendans, and after that, Matlood, a dance from Friesland, a part of the Netherlands, or Netherlands a part of Friesland. Talk about it. Starting.
De reuze komt uit, keren weer om, reuze, reuze, keren weer om, reuze, kom. Keren weer om, reuze, reuze, keren weer om, reuze, kom. Thank you.
GGF with modern pop music from the Middle Ages. Because don't you be mistaken, we've said this before when we were talking about William and Mary, when we played music which nowadays would be called classical music. But in those days when it was written, and some of the music, or a lot of it, wasn't even written down in those days, wasn't meant to be serious music at all. And this definitely sounds very happy. Jack, please come and join me again, because now we know how you joined the museum, how that all started. But now, the museum itself, when, why, and how did it all start?
In the beginning of this century, a lot of traditional things vanished in Holland because of mechanization of agriculture, because of industrialization of handicraft, and a lot of these things vanished. An association of people who wanted to preserve these things went to Scandinavia, where they found a new kind of museum, an open-air museum. That is a park in which you transplant original buildings, show them to the public. In 1912, in Holland, Mr. Heuver started such an association, and they found in Arnhem, because one of the members of the committee was the burgomaster of Arnhem, Mr. Van Heemstra, a place to settle this beginning open-air museum.
When you say, Jack, that these people went to Scandinavia, we have a lot of listeners in Scandinavia, of course. Would you know not precisely where, but in which countries they went to inform themselves?
They went to Stockholm, to Skansen, the first open-air museum in the world, founded in 1892.
Well,
a very good example to have a good look at. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that's all our listeners in Sweden will say, so really Skansen was the beginning of the open air museum in Ireland. But anyway, so these people decided to start something of the kind and found a spot in Ireland. But then?
The first thing is to find a place to transplant these buildings that was given in loan by the municipality of Arnhem. And then they started collecting things for this museum. And when they had 6 farmhouses, turf cabin, a mill, they opened the museum in 1918.
I see. So when you say they started collecting things, we immediately think of little things, old clocks and maybe pottery. But when you say they started collecting things, they started collecting farmhouses and mills. Right, so it was 1912 that the idea was born and the society started, or the association. It took until 1918 before they finally could open the museum to the public, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, well, you've mentioned the year 1912, and there's another link with the year 1912 for our next piece of music. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have another organ here. It's a tiny little one, and there's a little bit of misunderstanding. I was always told by my listeners abroad that this is the typical hurdy-gurdy. Now, Robert van Lint will never agree, because he calls what he has... No, just a minute. He calls what he's got there the hurdy-gurdy. My listeners in the United States say that the little organ that the organ grinder carries on his stomach with the little monkey on his shoulder, that is the typical hurdy-gurdy. And if you look in a dictionary, you'll see in a Dutch-English or English-Dutch dictionary, you'll see that at hurdy-gurdy it says draailier, which is exactly what Robert van Lint has. And the little organ we're going to hear in German is called Leierkasten, and we'll simply call it a tiny little organ. It's got sweet little melodies. The organ, and that's why I said there's a link, was built in 1912 by a certain Mr. Hrubisch, who was a Czech. He lived in Czechoslovakia. And all the melodies on that organ also come from Czechoslovakia. And the only thing I can tell you is that the first little tune we're going to hear is called Solo Profletnu. ¶¶ it. And I can tell you, it isn't easy to play an organ and make it sound the way it did. And the one who did that for us today is Eef Hofstede. Jack, we're going on with the history of the museum. So it was opened, let's say, in the early 20s or before the 20s, and then?
In the beginning of these years, there were only 10,000 visitors a year. The more buildings were transplanted to the museum, the more visitors came. Not only farms, mills, and crafts were collected from all parts of the Netherlands. They were broken down by our own personnel, transported, the materials were transported to the museum, and very specific professional workers in the museum rebuilt the farms and the mills and the crafts in the original way. And people came to the museum and could look for themselves how the Dutch lived and worked in bygone days.
How big was the museum at that time? How many acres?
It was about 80 acres, and it was later on extended to 100 acres, which is at the moment.
Such a thing, of course, is not done in a day. How long did it take them after the official opening before they could really say, well, we've got a museum?
I think that is the beginning of this Second World War. Uh-huh. About 1940, there were about 40 different items to be seen in the museum. And when I say 40, you must understand that when you go into a farmhouse or you go into a craft, then you find tens, hundreds of different objects in these buildings, because the buildings are installed just as if the people who worked in it, who lived in it, have gone away. So it is, in fact, you can have a look into the kitchen, into the stable, and get an idea of how they lived.
It just looks as though they've left for just a few minutes and can come back any minute. That's the intention. Okay, we've come to, of course, a very important part of our history, the 40s, the early 40s, and we'll talk about that more. Now, however, we are going to listen to our GGF once again. A special hat is worn for this number. I have to tell you that the number they've got for you now, the title is Branle, and it wouldn't mean anything if you weren't given some extra information. You will hear a very special instrument consisting of two spoons. And the one who plays the spoons, who's called Ruud, has four different techniques to play the spoons. And let's see if you can put those four techniques apart. Anyway, I'd like to ask our GGF group now to play the next number, Branle.
Yes, I can tell the name of the dancers, please. First is under the green tree, a tree who can talk to when you ask him, so he gives you an answer. And the second dance is called peanuts picking. And after that we play the branle, the branle, a dance of horses. So, if you like.
Thank you.
branle.
An excerpt of a Happy Station show from the Open Air Museum in Arnhem from September 1988. And we're going to bring you much more from the Happy Station archives, so do stay tuned. If you want to get in touch with us to let us know what you think of the program, like Zorana did, and to find me again, very simple, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Let us know how you heard the program, either shortwave, FM, medium wave, satellite, or the internet. Or also through phone apps as well, so let us know. We're going to leave you today with Austrian singer Udo Jürgens with a song called Griechischer Wein that was even recorded in English by the American singer Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby did a version of it, which is called, in English, Come Share the Wine. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perron wishing you well. Saying so long, take care, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Es war schon dunkel, als ich durch Vorstadtstraßen heimwärts ging. Da war ein Wirtshaus, aus dem das Licht noch auf den Gehsteig schien. Ich hatte Zeit und mir war kalt, drum trat ich ein. Da saßen Männer mit braunen Augen und mit schwarzem Haar. Und aus der Jukebox erklang Musik, die fremd und südlich war. Als man mich sah, stand einer auf und lud mich ein. Griechischer Wein ist so wie das Blut der Erde. Komm, schenk dir ein. Und wenn ich dann traurig werde, liegt es daran, dass ich immer träume von daheim. Du musst verzeihen, griechischer Wein und die altvertrauten Lieder schenk noch mal ein, denn ich fühle die Sehnsucht wieder in dieser Stadt. Werde ich immer nur ein Fremder sein und allein. Und dann erzählten sie mir von grünen Hügeln, Meer und Wind, von alten Häusern und jungen Frauen, die alleine sind und
von dem Kind, das seinen Vater noch nie sah. Sie sagten sich immer wieder, irgendwann geht es zurück. Und das Ersparte genügt zu Hause für ein kleines Glück. Und bald denkt keiner mehr daran, wie es hier war. Griechischer Wein ist so wie das Blut der Erde. Komm, schenk dir ein. Und wenn ich dann traurig werde, liegt es daran, dass ich immer träume von daheim. Du musst verzeihen. Griechischer Wein und die altvertrauten Lieder schenk nochmal ein, denn ich fühle die Sehnsucht wieder in dieser Stadt. Werde ich immer nur ein Fremder sein und allein.